Good morning. God is good. All the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in a series of messages, I've been emphasizing various aspects of life in the Spirit. In our first message, we talked about the tabernacle of David worship, that we're a house of prayer for all nations, and the fact that prayer is the umbrella term for all kinds of spiritual activity. Saying prayers, gifts of the Spirit, worship, praise, that prayer is the umbrella term for many aspects of spirituality and corporate spirituality as a congregation. And then the second message, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as that dimension of life by which every believer is empowered and by which we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not in our own strength, but in His. In message three, I talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis and the impact of our personal testimony, especially Acts 1. It says, when the power of God comes upon you, you shall be witnesses of me. You shall give testimony of me. And then in message four, I talked about the conversion of the Apostle Paul and his theology of the Holy Spirit, especially noting how the Holy Spirit affected his life and how he taught in the book of Acts and so forth about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then in message number five, I talked about the sacredness of the temple, how that on several dimensions, the dimension of Jesus Christ Himself being the temple. Secondly, the dimension of our physical body being the temple. Thirdly, that a family is literally a temple, that the local church is a temple of people being built together for the habitation of the Spirit. And fifthly, that in one sense, the whole world is God's temple. It all belongs to Him. And He's the creator of all, and all things are to come back to Him and bring glory. And there shall come a day when the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And all things shall be unto Him, that God may be all in all. Now today, I'd like to continue this by beginning to think about the body life of the church. How the Holy Spirit works in the body life of the church. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm to you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Father, I pray that you will bless us and help us as we look at these things, that your will might be done, that you might instruct us and impart unto us today, Father, the vision and the joy of being members of your body. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we saw in chapter 1 that the Lord has enriched us. He said to the Corinthian church, you've been enriched. Every one of us in the body of Christ are enriched. Him who became poor, that we might be made rich, 2 Corinthians says. That in Him we have the riches of Christ. We have been enriched. And a lot of times I think Kudra was trying to speak to this, that we can think about the riches of money and success, but there's another level and dimension of life whereby we experience the reality of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in the nitty-gritty of trying to write resumes and do interviews and all these things. You know, I listened to his testimony. It was a great testimony because it reminds me that regardless of what age you are in life, you're going through your current situation, your current pathway, the season of life you're in. And I recall when I was young in college, you know, God was dealing with me in some very forthright and direct ways. And the amazing thing is, 50 years later, He's still dealing with me in direct and purposeful ways. And every stage of life, we never get past that walking with the Lord and the experience of life. And it's wonderful to know that we are enriched in Him. You are a rich person in Him. You have an enrichment in your heart, in your soul, in your emotions, in your spirit, in your mind. We are enriched in Him. He said, you are enriched in everything, in all utterance and all knowledge. And the Corinthian church was very much into expressing their faith, uttering their faith, declaring their faith, speaking their faith, into knowing God in a personal way. It wasn't just a mental dead game. It was a living reality, knowing Christ. And then, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, there's a confirmation that comes when the life and the Spirit is confirmed within us. I know what it's like to be in a spiritual framework of reference where most of the Christian thinking is just mental and rational. I read the other day in a secularist orientation where they said, religion needs to move beyond the miracle faith to the rational faith. And that was written in 1800 by a man who said, we got to move from miracle faith, a miracle-centered faith, to a rational faith. Well, we can trace literally through the 1800s, the 1900s, the 2000s, into the 2000s, we can trace that rationality by itself has led the church astray, has led people astray. Today, that people can rationalize anything in the name of the church. Rationalization by itself will not bring you the enrichment of the Word of God. And he said, we've got to move from miracle Christianity to rational Christianity. Well, that was a great dividing point. In fact, in philosophy and in church history, we can trace back to about that 1800, late 1700s, you know, with the French Revolution, the American Revolution. Even in America, our Constitution was made into a deist document rather than a theist recognition, is that people were trying, through the scientific method, which they had discovered, they were excited about it, science could answer all questions. There was a diversion into a rational orientation, to a scientific-based philosophy of life, to a, we can figure this out for ourselves, we don't need this so-called God who's transcendent, who we can't put our hands on, we can't define, we can't understand. The gods beyond them. Therefore, we have to rationally, scientifically explain things for ourselves. And there's a great dividing point that brought about modern secularism versus understanding things in a biblical orientation. Well, I want to say to you today that I'm all for miracle faith. I believe God does miracle faith. I believe that He's a supernatural God. I believe that faith And the Christian life is a supernatural journey. It's a supernatural aspect of walking in the living presence of the living God. And that God who is Spirit communicates Himself and reveals Himself. And I would not trust, I know that many times young people go off to college and they're talked into all the humanistic ways. But I would say understand that the living nature of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, life in the Spirit, is the essence of what Christianity is all about. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are one body with many members. You are one of the many members. I'm one of the many members. There are many members in the body. Each one of us is a member of the body. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. I don't know how many messages I'll do with this, but I just want to kind of go to the practical application very quickly. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 26, how is it then, brethren? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? I thought when Linda was raising her hands back there, she said, yeah, I want to get saved. Okay, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Today we had a testimony. We had prophecy. We had scripture read. We had prayer. Each of you, the nature of New Testament faith and how they conducted their services and gatherings was not based on around a single pastor model, but it was the body life of the church. Every member of the body. There's one body, but many members. And we have felt that for a long time here, that the congregational life as a family is a multi-membered, many-membered body, that each one of us are critical to the success of what happens. I was thinking about when Kevin told me recently, and he said, you know, when we first came to the church, he said, for 3 or 4 months, I thought you guys planned everything, that you had designated certain people to pray and certain people to read scripture and certain people to do this and certain people to do that. And only gradually did I realize that none of it was planned except by the Holy Spirit. It was all happening because people were responding in body life as the many members of the body. He said, because it looked like it was all put together. It looked like it was all organized, like it was so smooth and it must have been planned and orchestrated by someone. Well, it was by the Holy Spirit of God. And he said he began to realize and then began to anticipate what's going to happen this Sunday, what's going to happen the next Sunday. And I was so pleasantly encouraged and by that, because it's been an amazing thing for some 30 years. We've not planned things. Yes, the worship team selects some songs, but they don't even know exactly what order they're going to go in. They're prepared. But we follow the leading of the Lord. Now, therefore, each of you has a psalm. That would be a psalm of praise, a reading a psalm. Perhaps you maybe even have a poem. Has a teaching. You may share a little teaching. Maybe in the midst of the worship, you might be just a 1 or 2 minute teaching in the hour of the worship, or might even be after the worship. You stand. It might be a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Track with me if you would. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now if you notice carefully, most Bibles will accurately indicate that the word gift is in italics, which means it's been interpolated or put in there by the interpreters. It really means, now concerning spiritualities, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He said, concerning spirituality things, I do not want you to be ignorant. There it's not particularly about gifts. It's about the spiritualities, the different aspects of demonstrating, displaying, showing forth, manifesting the things of the Spirit of God. Now I think it's important for us to talk about this, because some of us may not have ever been instructed in this. Some of us may never have been taught. Maybe we don't know what our spiritual privilege is. We don't know what the Lord would have us to do. I always enjoy it when Benga, he starts out. He's got a little way he gets going there. The Lord Almighty, huh? We give you praise. That's what it is. Yeah, we give you praise. And then, and he begins to contribute. And others. And the truth is, we have that spiritual privilege. Now, I'm here talking about the body, but I'm talking about each one of us too. I wish we had everybody here so you could catch the message. And many will say, me? I have nothing to contribute. I wouldn't dare open my mouth. I wouldn't dare speak. And you hold back where in the scriptures it says that we're to express, we're to speak. God's given every one of us vocal cords, and we are to speak and to speak for and make a public confession. And we purposefully want to encourage that. Now, we're not into just looseness about it, just any old thing. We want to be led by the Spirit. But when you're feeling led by the Spirit, oftentimes when you're being led by the Spirit, a couple of things are going through your mind. Is this thought I'm having in my mind of the Lord, or is it just mine? Well, if you've yielded yourself to the Lord, that thought in your mind probably is coming from the Lord. He's probably impressing something in you, in your mind, in your heart. The second thing that normally happens is you begin to get nervous. You begin to realize that it's called the fear and trembling of the Lord. You begin to say, do I dare? Do I have faith? The Bible says, let a person prophesy according to faith. And you'll feel that even to this day, having preached for 50 years, when it comes to prophecy, I have that feeling. Is this the right time? Is this the Lord? And I feel that little bit of weakness and trembling. And yet when I prophesy in faith, Moses says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we are to prophesy in faith. Now, another thing is that when that happens and you speak, you don't have to have the whole prophecy. Prophecy, many people think, well, that means we're talking about future things. We're predicting things. We're, you know, no. Prophecy in the New Testament sense is simply prophetes, speaking forth. Wind is allowed to flow through your vocal cords, and out comes words, prophetes. And in that prophecy, that speaking forth by faith, you are a part of declaring the word of the Lord. God's word comes into your heart and mind, and you declare it. And the Bible says, covet to prophesy. Look at chapter 14. Pursue love and desire gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Prophecy is the highest gift to be embraced and to be received. Now, if you go back to chapter 12 and verse number 4, says there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And then in verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. I think the NIV calls it there are diversities of energies, different types of energies, or activities, or different types of works. And here we find the Trinity, the diversity of gifts, but it's the Holy Spirit that distributes the various gifts. Different kinds of ministries, and the Lord calls us into different kinds of ministries. Probably the diversity of gifts refers to Romans 12, where it talks about the gifts of prophecy and teaching and sharing and giving and mercy and things like that. And then the differences of ministries, probably Ephesians 12, there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints to the work of the ministry. And then he says there are different kinds of activities, different kinds of energies or works, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, in the midst of this, if you take time to really ponder it, it speaks about a beautiful complex, a matrix of different kinds of things that are happening. Now, in verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That's one of those manifestations. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, there's a tendency in pride for many people to say, well, I have this gift, I don't have that gift. Or, that person has that gift, I don't have that gift. And what I've noticed is that all these gifts belong to us as God's people, but in the course of how it works out, the Holy Spirit distributes them as He would distribute them. So maybe, let's just take what I've learned through the years, out of my experience, that maybe one Sunday I'll minister in a word of prophecy. Maybe another Sunday the Lord will minister the spirit of faith, to believe for something in faith. Maybe another Sunday He'll minister through me healing, the prayer of healing. Maybe another time He'll minister to me a word of wisdom, and a word of wisdom will come through. Another time, maybe a prophecy of knowledge, like the Lord puts in my mind, so-and-so is hurting, go and minister to them. A word of knowledge, or perhaps a knowledge comes that the Lord would say, someone here is under the attack, a severe attack in their soul because of depression. That'd be a word of knowledge. And that might be declared, and then a person might say, ah, that's me. That's what I've been experiencing. Okay, come forward for prayer. There might be, for someone else, the gifts of miracles. Miracles are exceptional situations where God touches people and changes them. And we've had times like that. And then there are gifts of healing, where we pray for healing for people. Now, these gifts are distributed among God's people. Like, for instance, I'm not at every meeting, therefore you don't want to wait on me to do all the ministry. Pastor Dan's not at every meeting. You don't want to wait for him for everything. We all have many situations in life where we are believer priests and could move in the gifts of the Spirit. Home groups, people can move in the gifts of the Spirit. At a breakfast, women's breakfast or men's breakfast, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. One-on-one with someone, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. At various kinds of congregational gatherings, you can move in the Spirit. And so you have to have, I believe, first of all, a conviction that this is biblical, that this is the way the New Testament operated. Now, the modern church operates differently. You have the one pastor, you have perhaps a choir, you have a worship team, platform-driven, and everybody else just sits and watches and listens and smiles and enjoys, yes. But it's more they're enjoying a performance by someone else. But in a New Testament church, it was participation, and everyone participated. So you have to kind of make a decision in your spirit that a body life congregation is where I am a participant. I am one of the members of the one body. I am called to participate. And you need to know that in our congregation, we encourage it, we invite it, we urge it, we welcome it, we're excited by it, we're blessed when we see different ones participating. And so we want to encourage this, because this is all a part of life in the Spirit. Amen? Now he says, someone says, well, how can you discern between that which is of the Lord and that which is of the enemy? Well, go back to chapter 12, verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. I know that I grew up in a denomination where they said the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the Bible were, frankly, of the devil. That there were extremes in the gifts of the Spirit. The open heart to the gifts of the Spirit, they'll lead to demonic things. And they were so afraid of that they didn't even want to touch the idea of gifts in the Spirit. Well, I found out in my life that when you yield to the Holy Spirit, and there's a body yielded to the Holy Spirit, the enemy is not able to get in. Now, the Holy Spirit is free to move in a body that's committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we know that the body is committed to the Lordship of Christ, when we know that the body belongs to the Lord, when we know that the believers who gather together are united to Jesus Christ, we know we have the confidence that He lives in us by His Spirit, then in that we can have confidence that we're living and moving under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we ought not to give way to fear. Well, how do I know? Well, by the way, there have been times when people of the flesh or people of a divided mind have ministered in the flesh. But I want to tell you, that's why it talks about the gift of discernment. We can discern that. In some 30 years in it, I've discerned a couple of times when people were moving in the flesh or even moving in the wrong spirit. And we take them aside afterwards and minister to them. But I found, for the most part, through all the years, that when we're under the Lordship of Christ, under His headship, when we're walking in a body that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, that Spirit cannot make its way in very easily. So don't fear the demonic spirit. Don't fear that aspect. Walk in faith that God is moving, and that if you're yielded to Christ, you're acknowledging Him. It says you cannot even acknowledge the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you're acknowledging Him, then don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. Amen? Very simply, I'm trying to speak as plainly as I can. It's probably not great oratory. It's probably not a great preaching message today. But I'm trying to speak plainly that you can trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. And therefore, have the confidence that if the Spirit of God lives in you, He will lead you. Let me take, it's possible that you could hold back for a long time. Let's take Sean here. Now, Sean would not be our most verbal member. But you know, his gifts are astounding. The gifts of helps, the gift of service, the gift of ministry, support. He's awesome in it. But Sean, would you have felt that your strong gifts were strong verbalization gifts? No. He would tend to be shy, to be withdrawn. And, you know, I kept hoping for the time when Pastor Dan would ask him to do the Lord's table. And I remember when he did the Lord's table. See, that's a participation. That's a prophetic action. When you minister the Lord's table, the word, that's a prophetic action. You are prophesying. You are speaking for 4 or 5 minutes the word of the Lord with the intent of leading everyone else to be unified in the table of to the table of the Lord to observe the elements. It's a prophetic action. A little bit of teaching, a little bit of sharing, a little bit of testimony. Today we had a parable story. The fact is that in that prophetic action, well, he shared two or three times now, and twice. And you know what? We have all were blessed each time. Mightily blessed. And you know, but I bet the night before, at least the first time, Sean didn't get much sleep. He probably was worried about it. He probably was trying to figure out what he was going to say and so forth. Now, I thank you for letting me use you. I would suppose that 50% of us might feel the same way. Who am I to verbalize? Who am I to speak out? Who am I to read Scripture out? How do I know to be right? Who am I to make a declarative statement about faith in a prophetic word? Who am I to stand up and give a little 2-minute teaching about what the Lord's been teaching me? Who am I to believe I could lay hands on people and believe for their healing? Who am I to believe I could walk up to someone and say, you know, you're struggling, I want to pray for you that you'll have a miracle? Who am I? You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You are a saint of the living God. You are a believer priest. You are purchased by the blood of Christ. You have the infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You are yielded to the authority of the Word of God. you understand that the gifts of the Spirit are being distributed to the saints according to the need. And all you need to do is act and speak in faith. When God created the earth, He spoke. And the sea and the land was divided. He spoke things into being. I believe, therefore I speak, it says in Corinthians. And we need to know that in that dimension we have the authority, the freedom to speak. Amen? Then why do we sit back and say, oh, not me, I don't have anything to contribute. Amen? You know, she hasn't done as much recently, Gloria, but many times through the years we're worshiping and she moves on, begins to dance beautifully before the Lord. Others do it too. That's a prophetic action. That's lifting up, you're presenting your body, you're presenting yourself in worship to the Lord. And so I guess my thought today, encouraging you, to embody life worship that the Lord wants each one of us to contribute. Therefore, you got to get that information from your head into your heart. You got to get it into your hands, you know. You got to pray it through and walk it out. And I just encourage you to consider that. You say, well, suppose I make a mistake. Suppose I don't quite have it. You know, you can't make a mistake in a godly family. You might not be perfect. You know, when our family was young, and we'd have these family discussions, and person insert this, and this insert that, and another one say this, another say that, and none of the children thought in complete sentences. But, you know, we communicated. We knew. We knew where we were coming from. And we would have family conversations. They did mature in quality as the years went on. The fact is that in the prophetic flow, if one person says one thing, we had a man once, his name was L. Smith. And Al Smith was a man that made me look thin. He was a big man. And he was an engineer. He had like 50, 60 engineers under him. He was involved in putting up high specialty satellites and very technically skilled and so forth. And he'd come to church and he'd say, the Lord is saying to me, faith. That'd be his prophecy. And then another time he'd be saying, Lord is saying to me, love your spouse. And that was his prophecy. And then another time he would say, the Lord is saying to me, don't be discouraged. And that's how he communicated. But invariably, when he would communicate, others would pick up the theme because it would prop something in them. And then, like today, when you prophesied, read the scripture and prophesied about the bullock, well, it prompted in me, a teacher, an additional explanation that literally in Romans 12, we bring our body, our bullock, and put it on the altar, a living sacrifice. Not that Christ shed the blood. We don't have to shed blood, but we still have to put our bullock on the altar. And so he prophesied, I added to it. And many times in a prophetic stream, there'll be five or six. One person speaks, it sets something going in the Spirit. Another person speaks by the Spirit. Another person reads a scripture by the Spirit that adds to it. Another person brings a prophecy that adds to it. The next person adds to it. That's happened many times through the years. And that becomes a prophetic message by the Spirit of God. And invariably, unusually true, very often that prophecy was exactly what the person who was going to teach and preach that day preached about. This is by the Spirit of God. I believe we have to understand that the Holy Spirit knows what He wants to say in a body. He just needs a voice. He just needs voices. He just needs agents, embodiments, vessels to communicate it. And you know, if Pastor Dan or Pastor Rick speak, well, they're the pastors. Of course, they're supposed to speak. If Thurlow speaks, of course, he's an apostle. He's supposed to speak. But you know what? When someone else in the congregation speaks who aren't supposed to speak, you know what I mean? By virtue of spiritual privilege, but that person speaks. That person speaks. That person speaks. That person speaks. Because the Holy Spirit led. It's the understanding that the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us, and the Holy Spirit lives in the body, and the members of the body are communicating what they're hearing from the Holy Spirit. And you don't know whether it's going to be good or not till it comes out. And when it comes out, you don't know, but when that word comes to the personality of that person. You know, I'm just waiting for the day when Mindy prophesies. Now, we know she can lead a great BBS. But you know what? One of these years, I bet you she's going to read Scripture and prophesy. And we're going to say, "Woo! That was Mindy!" You know, she's catching up with her husband. You know, picking on them because they're probably one of the shyest couples in the church and great serving couples. But you see what I'm trying to say? You know, that God will use you to speak to the body. And you'll say, "Wow, me? Yes, you. Nehemiah, one of these days you're going to speak at prophetic words. Excuse me, Caleb. I would do that to him." I used to get mixed up the ones. Dan, Paul, John, which one are you, Tim? And the truth is, every once in a while my family said, "Okay, Grandpa, list them all in birth order, all the grandchildren." I can do it, believe it or not, but I have to get more practice again. But my point is this, is that God can use you. You know, it's really beautiful when an 8-year-old all of a sudden speaks out. It's beautiful when a 14-year-old speaks out. It's beautiful when an elderly lady in the congregation speaks out. It's beautiful with a mother who's got 4 or 5 children and even one or two hanging on. You know, she's holding the child and she's prophesying and speaking out. The beauty of this body life ministry is that the word of the Lord comes through many diverse people, many personalities, many different frameworks of reference, out of many situations, because you're speaking out of your heart. Don't you like it when once in a while Betty, she just lets go and speaks out, and we say, "Man, that little tiny woman, man, she's got a big word from the Lord." You see what I'm saying? It's the beauty of the body. It's the beauty of ministry. This doesn't happen in 999 out of 1,000 churches. It's only 1 out of 1,000 churches. I'm just guesstimating. Allow this to happen. And to me, it's new. It says when they came together, each of them had a prophecy, an interpretation, a tongue, a word of healing, a teaching, a testimony, an exhortation. Amen. So I feel like I have not accomplished much today except nailing down this one important truth. That in body life, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as He wills. You know, those of us who are more familiar with the gifts and can move readily in them have to actually die to ourselves so that others come forth. There are times when I could prophesy 4 or 5 times in a service, but I'm waiting, "Lord, is this you or is it just me?" Because I could prophesy so easily. But I know while we're waiting that the Lord is talking to people, and my prayer in that time is, "Lord, let them have faith to deliver the word that you're putting in their mind and in their heart right now." Very seldom will you make a mistake, because if you do speak off, guess what? The Lord will finish usually with someone else just kind of providing the other half of the equation. So if you speak in part, the Bible says, I see in part, I know in part, I see through a glass darkly. And if you speak a part, I almost guarantee you someone else will see the other part and it will come through in fullness. How many of you never knew of this kind of church gathering until you came to Northgate? Quite a few of us. See, that's really something that's new. God gave us a revelation of this back in the 80s, and then He gave me Watchman Nee's book about the things of the Holy Spirit. And God gave me a conviction revelation, and we began to walk in this and grow in this. Then we began to run into other brothers in the body of Christ, like Dr. Pedrera at Children of Light Prayer Community, which Vance used to be a part of, and other places where they were also moving in the Spirit in a body life kind of way. And we believe it's far superior, but in order for this to have health and continuity and anointing and contribution, we all have to do it. You know, I'm waiting for the day when Dina prophesies or reads Scripture. Praise God. Okay, let's all stand together. We're not going to close with worship. It's kind of turned into a teaching equipment. The Bible says, equip the saints to the work of the ministry. So this is an equipping today to the work of the ministry. Father, we thank You for Your goodness.